You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Friday. Let's do this thing. There's no football to talk about. So we're talking basketball. We're talking NBA basketball. We're talking college basketball. And we're talking MMA. Steve Merrill will step up and in. And we'll talk about Friday night's NBA slate. We got some Ivy League college basketball action. Some A-10 action on the board this evening. Some action on the board, but I hate the Maction with a passion. So we're going to bypass on the Mac, right? I used to kill the Mac on the grid. Mac basketball just infuriates me, and it's to the point, like, even me. And you know, they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Well, insanity is my middle name. But even me, I've had enough of Mac basketball. You'll notice I don't give any Mac picks. All right. I'm done with this piece of crap conference. All right. I want no part of it. It's like the Filipino D League. I've been zapped enough times in the Manhattan Project to know better that I don't want a piece of it. But you know what? We've been doing pretty well with the Ivy League so far this year. What can Brown do for you? They can win you some money. That's what Brown can do for you. Anyways, we'll talk college basketball with Steve Merrill. Cody Saftick's going to join me in studio. We've got UFC 208 from Brooklyn, New York, the darkest arena in North America, man. Like I said on the Fight Network earlier in the week, over under of people tumbling down the steps at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, at least 12 and a half. At least, if not more. Like, I don't know if it's just dark. Supposedly they have some like new modern great LED type of lights or something like that. But I swear to God, man, anybody that's ever watched an Islander game or a Nets game knows how damn dark it is in that place. It's going to be interesting. We're going to break it down. We're going to talk UFC 28 from a betting perspective and a fantasy perspective, because it is the Fantasy Sports Network after all. So we got some DraftKings UFC 208 lineups. Cody Saftick, he's great. Cody Saftick, he knows betting. He knows MMA fantasy. He joins us in studio. We've been giving you kick-ass NBA lineups every day this week, but we're going to shake it up a little bit today. Today's Morenci lineup of the day will be for UFC 208. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart will join me in studio. A little hot roster fantasy action. Some basketball head-to-head matchups. I'm ready to go. I got some good numbers to back up my picks. Wow. All right. We got a lot of stuff on the show to get to. As I stated, we're not talking football. I promise that we're going to let the Super Bowl go. The NFL season is officially over. We gave all of our guests an opportunity to comment on the Super Bowl, but everybody's commented on it. We get it. The Patriots won. The Falcons collapsed. And Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. But I see that the unsolved mystery of the missing jersey can continues. And I see the lieutenant governor and the governor of Texas talking about how it's they take this very seriously, that Tom Brady's jersey's missing. Really? You're taking this very seriously? How about you take like 40% of the unsolved murders in the state of Texas very seriously? Like, you know, think about it. Think if you're somebody who's been victimized in the state of Texas, and you know that the gumshoes are out there pounding the pavement trying to find a 100 millionaire's freaking football jersey. But, and I don't praise chiefs of police very often, but I will tell you, I give accolades to the chief of police in Houston, Texas, as he's basically told the media, stop asking me about Tom Brady's jersey. He said three people got murdered the night of the Super Bowl in my city, all right? Tom Brady's jersey is not a high priority, and if you want to call anybody about it, call the damn governor's office or call the lieutenant governor that keeps talking about it, because I don't care. And, you know, it's amazing to me that the Houston Police Department actually has to tell people, stop asking us about Tom Brady's jersey. You know, the Houston Police Department have nothing to do with security in a locker room. That's NFL security. If Tom Brady wants to know where his damn jersey is, why doesn't he ask the equipment manager that he gave it to after the game? It's like this big mystery. Well, I don't know. Why don't we ask the damn guy? Why don't you ask the damn guy that didn't deflate the footballs for you? All right? I don't know, everything about you guys is shady. You know, I don't know, he's probably going to show up on Pawn Stars, and Rick's going to call a guy that he knows to find out whether this is an authentic jersey or not. Now they're saying, oh, you know what? It actually might be in the Patriots truck. Might be in a Patriots truck. It might have been mixed up with the other laundry. You know, ultimately, who gives a crap where Tom Brady's jersey is? Tom Brady has hundreds of millions of dollars, a supermodel wife, and five freaking Super Bowls. Your life will be fine without the jersey, Tommy. All right? But it all this reminded me of many years ago, actually. I was walking down the street, and I passed, I was in the red light district of Montreal. And I'm outside this Burger King, and there's all kinds of, like, you know, dealers and pimps and prostitutes. Real shady corner. And, you know, Allen Iverson was rocking in those days. And I had this, like, really rare blue official Allen Iverson jersey. So I walked past the Burger King, and I noticed, like, this pimp has the same jersey as me. So I sort of look. I'm like, that's a nice jersey, man. He's like, damn right. You know, I go into the Burger King and I notice there's a dude that has the exact same Tim Raines batting practice Expos jersey as I do. And then I'm thinking to myself, this is kind of strange. Either I've been robbed and I don't know it yet, or I've got big problems because I dress identically to drug dealing pimps that hang out in Burger Kings. So, you know, I lived in the neighborhood. I went home. Subsequently, I found out that one of my roommates that had a problem ended up selling all my clothes for a bunch of crack to a bunch of dealers. So I go to a Burger King, I'm like, yeah, I got that same jersey. I got that jersey too. But why would you think that people would have your clothes on? So you know what? You know, I went back out there. I'm like, dude, that's my shirt. He's like, you want it back? It's like, no. Like, you know, once your jersey's been worn, and I saw the Expos jersey, I saw the dude the next day, he already had blood on it and stuff. I'm thinking, oh, dear, what are you doing to my jersey, man? What are you doing to my jersey? And I told him, you know, I said, how much did you pay for this? Where'd you get this? He's like, ah, oh, we sold them for like, you know, four rocks. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. So, you know what, Tom Brady? You're going to have to do what I did once I saw a bunch of crack-dealing pimps wearing my clothes. Let it go. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Friday. We're off to a great start. Reed hasn't screwed anything up yet in the booth after sabotaging yesterday's show. We want to apologize to the viewers. But all kidding aside, Reed's a good guy, despite the fact he's a Patriot fan. Reed's a Patriot fan and a Bruins fan. He loves those class organizations, don't you? And instead of donating change to the homeless, Reed's the type of guy that takes change out of the cup. I gotta tell you, Reed, for a guy that looks just like, you know what? We gotta do this sometime, actually. I told this guy, Reed, and Reed's a good guy, but I told him, you look like Macaulay Culkin. You seem to get insulted. I think what we got next week on the show, we'll get a split screen up with the shot, like a comparison. And he won't be able to deny it after the, you know, everybody confirms what I told him. You know, Warman knows, it's true. Warman looks like Eric Wood on the Bills. Has anyone ever told you that before? Yeah, you look like Eric Wood if Eric Wood went on a little bit of a diet. Not much of a diet, but a little bit. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, who, I don't know, let's see what Steve looks like. Steve looks like he just woke up. That's what Steve looks like. What's up, Steve?
I had a guy tell me like 5 years ago, a cable guy once came out to my house, and he kept saying, you look really familiar. So I was thinking maybe he like was a sports bettor or something, you know, and turns out he thought I was George C. O'Reilly, the guy that's a Will Ferrell sidekick in Step Brothers and Talladega Nights. And my hair was getting a little bushy like it is now, actually. Normally it's a lot shorter, so I was like, I wish.
I got into a taxi last year, and it was like a Korean driver. And we're driving, and you guys taking the wrong turns. He's going everywhere. So I started bitching. I'm like, yo, dude, what are you doing? He turns around. He goes, oh, I know you. I know you. So I'm thinking same thing. Like, maybe he's seen me on TV or something.
Right.
And I'm like, how do you know me? And he goes, oh, I used to work at a corner store and used to come in and gamble all the time on the pro line and used to get very mad all the time. Used to yell at everyone in store.
So he definitely knew you.
Yeah, because I was like, I told the guy in the cab, I'm like, this guy thinks he, I don't know, why would I know this guy? How would I know like an 80-year-old Korean taxi driver? But it turns out, yeah, he used to work in a corner store.
That was a pretty accurate description. I think he knew you.
Yeah, the best part was I was yelling at him in the taxi, too. It was like my voice, like, you know, like.
He started going into, he pulled over to the curb and started shaking in the fetal position all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, no, you. So, yeah, I felt like yelling the other night. I tell everyone that Markieff Morris is a good fantasy pick in DraftKings. He wasn't hurt. Ah, they just rested him, Steve. One of those type of deals. And listen, you know, it's tough for me and you. I mean, we're doing this stuff in a day. You got to post your picks. You have clients. You can't tell them, oh, I'll let you know it's 6:49 tonight. So you've sort of got to make these picks. And I know it's not a sports league's responsibility to inform the gambling world of what's going on with their rosters. But they're taking money from DraftKings. Is DraftKings paying them? I don't know. That's another story. They might go to court, but that's another story. But they're advertising DraftKings, but they're encouraging people to play fantasy basketball. You get your lineup locked in, and you get screwed when they rest everyone. Yesterday, we had the big debacle. You know, you could have got the Cavaliers at plus 11 at one point yesterday, Steve. You know, the big three were in, they were out, and then they're in. You know, this is a problem. And Adam Silver is saying that he envisions a day when you can bet on NBA games like you can in EPL, like in the stadium. You know, they'll have a betting booth in the stadium. You get a beer and place your bet. And he thinks it'll enhance the fan experience. Well, if you're going to do that, man, you better stop screwing people 10 minutes before the game.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, there's no reason why you can't announce at 4:00 Eastern if the guys are sitting out that night. It's not like it's a game decision where he has to warm up to see if his ankle's okay or something. I can understand that. You know, when a guy's a game time questionable decision, a lot of times you need to warm up to see if you're going to play or not. But when someone is being rested just for the sake of resting them, you literally aren't deciding that until like 30 minutes before the game. I find that hard to believe. The NFL, of course, has the injury report mandatory on Fridays at 4:00, a full 48 hours almost before the games. And that, of course, as you know, Gabe, was put in back in the 60s or 70s because of gambling. That's a little bit of a phony thing, though, because you look at what the Patriots do. Everybody on the roster is listed as questionable every week. So, and I would do the same thing, actually. That's one thing I agree with Belichick. Why risk getting fined by the league? I'd put everybody questionable every week on my entire roster. You got nothing to worry about. So, you know, there's a fine line there about it being useful and useless. But when they're going to rest somebody just for the resting sake, why can't you announce that at 4:00 in the afternoon, 3 hours before tip-off?
Well,
I think that's a happy compromise.
Forget about the gamblers. And, you know, we got to think about the actual fans and stuff that, you know, maybe somebody bought tickets and drove. Like, yesterday people were pissed. I don't know if they said, all right, we're going to play. Because, you know, people buy tickets for this stuff, especially LeBron James. You know, if you're a national spokesman, you have your own line of shoe, you're the number one selling jersey and all that, you have a freaking responsibility to the people that bought that crap, Steve. You know what I mean?
Like, I agree.
Like, if you're LeBron James, like, I get it. Like, if you're Clay Thompson and your ankle hurts, all right, whatever. All right, you know, it's all right, Clay. But if you're an iconic brand, and you want to be the face of the league, and you want to get every damn call from the refs, and you want to be the highest paid guy in the league, and you want to sell shoes, and you sell jerseys, then show up every night. And, you know, I saw a tweet yesterday earlier in the day when everyone thought James was going to be out, and the big three were going to be out. Somebody just did a copy and paste of Michael Jordan. And I tell you, Steve, all you saw, 81, 79, 80, right. 82, 79,
yeah.
80. Michael freaking Jordan played every night, every year.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. They've had 82-game seasons for quite a while now, and it's just until recently. And it's a monkey-see-monkey-do thing. You know, one team starts to do it. It's just like the guys sitting out of the bowl games this year. You know, we saw one or two or three of them do it. We're going to see everyone do it now going forward. Once one guy does it, once one coach does it, it becomes easier for everyone to do it. And I think, gambling aside, fantasy aside, I think the issue they've got right now is the fact that people pay big money to see the Cavaliers at one time a year they might be in their team's town, especially if it's a non-conference opponent. It's exactly one time a year. It's a major issue. So even without the gambling element, I think just them sitting out for the sake of the fans and the ticket prices is serious. I mean, the one solution, I guess, would be that they can only sit out home games.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
You know, 41 of the 82. But the reason teams do this is because they kind of basically mail it in and they're giving up a loss, and they never want to do that with a home
yeah,
game.
Yeah, but then they say, oh, we don't want to screw our own fans. But no, you screw your own fans then. Exactly.
One out of 41 games he misses instead of one out of one.
Exactly. You know, this would never fly in the NHL. You know, and the thing is, that's why I never understand that, too. The NHL is like 1,000% more physical than the NBA is. Guys are taking pucks to the face, pucks off the ankle. They're getting face first into the glass. It's an extremely violent sport. It's like it's more violent than football is even. Yet, you know, you need to have cancer to sit out a game. Like Mario Lemieux had cancer. And he wouldn't play back-to-backs, and, you know, it bothered him. You know what I mean? You know, and it was back-to-back sometimes. The guy had Hodgkin's disease. Like,
yeah,
it's just it's amazing to me. Like you said, it's a culture thing of it's accepted in this place and it's not accepted in that place.
But the problem is, you know, what's the solution, though? Because you could come up with a rule that says if you miss a game, like on an injury in the NFL, you have to sit out the next play. If you don't play a game, you got to sit out the next game. But then all they got to do is put someone. Yeah, but then all they got to do is put LeBron in for 5 minutes, and that doesn't solve anything.
Well, I would rather that. I would rather that they would say, all right, listen. And I get it. The schedule's tough with the back-to-backs. But I would tell them, listen, you know, people are here to see you. We're going to start you, so you're going to go out there. You're going to wave to everyone at the pregame warm-up, slam a couple of balls, do a couple of dunks.
True. I guess that's better than zero. Yeah, I guess that's better than zero.
If you're an 8-year-old kid, you don't know how many minutes he played. You know what I mean?
Well,
you know, yet you're devastated if he's not there. Because I go back to this. I think it was Minnesota, wherever the hell it was. LeBron didn't even show up to the arena. He stayed in the state. He wasn't even in the state. And there was like all these kids there with his gear and stuff, and they're crying, "Daddy, Daddy, where's he's not even here. I'm sorry." At least have him there, you know.
I mean, that's a better solution, I guess. If you don't play, you miss the next game, because then they'd have to risk somebody being out two games, which they don't want to do.
I lived in LA, Steve.
Well, even if they put him in for only 5 minutes, I guess you're right. It's better than him not showing up at all if you've already bought a ticket. But then again, then you go into the whole gambling fantasy element. That makes it even more difficult, because if he's only playing 5 minutes from a handicapping perspective, that's basically like he's not playing.
Well, as it is now, like I said, I don't really know what they owe to the gamblers. But I remember years ago with the Lakers, I was there when they were getting old and stuff. And they rested everybody against the Blazers one night. And it was late in the season, too. And they were justifiably within their means to do it. But Portland was pissed because, you know, it was other teams got upset because it sort of Portland was fighting for a playoff spot, etc.
Changes the playoff list, right.
And, and Stern was pissed, man. Like, he was pissed. Like, he threatened huge fines. Unless you have a broken leg, you can't do this. People paid. People want to see Magic Johnson. He was livid. Except now, you know, it seems to be acceptable. But nevertheless.
Well, what's the solution, though? You got to get a doctor's note? I mean, I just don't know a good solution's the problem.
I don't know. Stop betting, I guess. That's the solution. Yeah. Pacers and Wizards tonight. Two hot teams. The Wizards are a little hotter than the Pacers, but Pacers have been playing well over the last couple of weeks, too. Yet they both had their win streak snapped by the same team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sort of just reminds you that, you know, I think the margin, the gap is closing. Teams are playing the Cavs pretty tough now, but there's still a gap right there. I've been riding the Wizards. They're 15-3 against the spread, their last 18 home games. But, I don't, you know, they're up to 6-point favorites right now. I like the points and the dog tonight.
Yeah, I'd be a little careful with the Wizards right now. They covered 10 straight games in a row. They went 11-1 against the spread heading into that Cleveland game earlier this week. And they should have won and covered in regulation. LeBron hits a falling out of bounds three-pointer to force it to OT. They end up losing and failing to cover. Now, they did bounce back against Brooklyn on Wednesday night, but they only won by 4 as a 10-point road favorite. I just get a feeling there could be a little bit of a hangover here for the Wizards this week.
I think there is as well. All right, so speaking of hangovers, it's going to be interesting at the Garden tonight. Last night at the Rangers game, they were chanting Charles Oakley all night just to get under Dolan's skin. I imagine that'll continue this evening. And, you know, the fact is, the Knicks players all hate Dolan, too. So it's almost like, I don't know, I think they might get a kick out of everyone chanting Oakley's name tonight. And Nuggets are pretty banged up. No Fareed. You've got Gallinari, of course, is out. Moutier still out. Denver is such a deep team, though. You know, they don't have superstars, but they have a bunch of good players on this team. But they're not a very good road team. I know this is insanity, but I'm betting on the Knicks tonight.
Yeah, this is a tough call because, you know, which New York team shows up? Is it a team that wants to prove to everybody they're uniting or whatever and stick it to the management? But do you exactly stick it to the management by winning? I'm not sure that's the case. So I think they're a very tricky team to handicap right now. They're just 1-4 straight up in ATS their last five, including 0-3 their last three. So that's a concern. But like you said, Denver banged up. One thing, though, Gabe, both teams like to play fast. And if both teams, you know, if one's missing players, the other one doesn't care, I think that can lead to playground mentality. That could be a lot of points. Now, it's a high total here, 229, but for good reason.
Yeah, you know, well, they scored 241 when they played earlier in the year.
Yeah, and they like to play fast, both of them.
God, 229 is high, though, man. All right, Dayton and Rhode Island, Steve Atlantic, 10 basketball. Interesting tilt here. Danny Hurley's doing a great job with the Rams, home of Lamar Odom, of course. Before Lamar Odom was a TMZ victim and a Kardashian victim and an NBA player. He was a standout. I know I'm getting old when I remember how much money I used to make betting on Lamar Odom at Rhode Island. But Rhode Island, they're playing good basketball. But without being stated, I don't know if they're better than Dayton. And you got Dayton getting points coming in here, Steve. I'm tempted by the underdog here.
Yeah, Rhode Island does have the revenge motor. They lost by three back in early January at Dayton as a one-point dog. Now they're a four-point home favorite. They are 11-1 at home. Dayton 12-1 at home, just 6-4 away. So strong home court and revenge usually works pretty well in college hoops. That would favor Rhode Island.
Yeah, but Dayton's also 6-1 straight up. Their last seven, 5-2 against the spread. They're on a little bit of a run. I think it's a three-point game again. I think it's a 2-3-point game, Steve.
Yeah, I had UCLA last night. They made the big comeback, won by three as a four-point favorite. So you could kind of see a similar outcome in this one. I do think the line's a little point or two high, but I think the situation favors Rhode Island.
That game made me sick last night. I had the over.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how, like, whatever. Like, they scored like 90 points in the first half. I don't know how the hell. It landed, you know what it was, Steve? It was 163.5. Landed 162. I don't know what the hell the Ducks were doing at the end of the game. They have 14 seconds left. They're running around with the ball. Somebody shoot the damn ball and foul. They collapsed. That was an epic. You know, that was like a Falcon-style collapse last night. So Mark Lawrence got a free pickup on covers today. Cornell and Princeton. It's a dangerous game to take to have confidence in the Big Red here, but I actually do. I used to get killed with the Ivy League, and I finally stopped, but this year I've been doing all right with it. It's a lot of points, man. A lot of points. Cornell, they're not very good, Cornell. They're 6-15 straight up, but they're 6-7-2 against the spread. Princeton are 13-6, but they're only 6-7 against the spread, too. And I'm looking at Cornell's losses. They don't get blown out. They lose by 7-8 points every night.
Yeah, I mean, Ivy League games are usually a pretty slow pace. Obviously, Princeton not afraid to play slow. They give up only 64 points a game. What concerns me is, though, that they owned Cornell last season, 14-29-point wins in the head-to-head matchups.
I know.
The question is, has Cornell gotten any better this year?
All right, Steve, always a pleasure.
Thanks, Gabe.
Right, Steve Merrill with us. All right, Cam Stewart steps up. And then we got Cody Saftick. We're going to talk some UFC 208, all that and more coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Cam Stewart into the studio on a weekly basis. We've been hitting some hot roster fantasy football head-to-head matchups. But the football season is unfortunately over. Hopefully, hot roster has some arena football, fantasy football.
Nice, Morenzi. Yeah. You love it. You love the arena league.
Oh, yeah.
You should
yeah.
be the commish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? I wanted to be the play-by-play guy for the Las Vegas team, Las Vegas Posse.
Yeah.
Or the Outlaws, sorry. The Las Vegas Outlaws. Vince Neil owned the team. But I realized the job stability probably was not very high. And, yeah, the team folded midway through his first year.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. They didn't get there. Who would have imagined, yeah. huh? The LA Kisser are still alive and kicking, though. All right, Cam. So, camera two, Drew told us he didn't want to hear any Van Halen.
Yeah, it's not Van Halen, you jerk. It's Loverboy, you tool. Right?
Do you know the difference between Loverboy and Van Halen, Drew?
Like, no clue.
Like one band's from California, one band's from Vancouver.
No.
Do you even know who Eddie Van Halen is?
They both suck.
Yeah. This is what you deal with every day.
You just said they both suck.
They both suck. They're legends.
Who's your favorite band? Blink 182?
Yeah, that's right. There it is.
Yeah.
Wow.
The favorite band of every 12-year-old kid at the mall.
That's pathetic.
Anyways, yeah, I'm all rattled.
Yeah, I know, I know. Yeah. Wait, hot roster. No, it's the kid is hot tonight. There's one for you, Drew. Whoa,
it's actually
so
to the point
tonight.
Where we're going to have to ask Drew to stop talking before segments. He's rattling.
No,
right
honestly.
Before we start, he's like, hey, guys, don't sing. I don't want to hear Van Halen today.
I can hear that. I can see the hamster's on the wheel, buddy. Yeah. Ready to rock? Let's rock.
All right. Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Andrew Wiggins versus Devin Booker.
Yep.
Head-to-head matchup. What's the number on this one? Is it minus one?
Yeah, we got Wiggins minus 2.5, Gabe. Yeah, I usually go for the pooches. Rough, you know me. But Wiggins, 31-27. Last two games, he's scoring lots of points. Four last six, 20-plus field goal attempts. As for Booker, he was a stud on fire. But the last couple games, only a 14-point night, a 20-point night. He's kind of hit the wall. Wiggins is in a good situation. I think they can get it done against New Orleans. So give me Wiggins. I always look for dogs, but I like the favorite in this matchup on hot roster.
Yeah, you know what? I like Wiggins in this spot as well. Wiggins is starting to... he's becoming a fantasy monster as of late. Ever since Levine's been out, actually. You look at Rubio's numbers.
Yep.
Wiggins is shooting the ball more. The problem with Wiggins before was he would only score.
Just points. Now he's getting a little bit more.
There wasn't like a lot of other production, but his game against the Raptors the other night, 31 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 block, and 2 steals.
That's all right.
That's as complete of a fantasy performance as you can get. He's put up 122 fantasy points in the last 3 outings. And more importantly, playing against the Pelicans, who give up a ton of freaking points.
They sure do.
Giving up 106.8 points per game. The total's 213 in this basketball game. Like Cam said, Booker was on fire, but like a lot of young players, they're going to have a hard time keeping up that pace. Booker has scored 20 or more points in 17 of his last 18 games. Pretty consistent.
But Wiggins,
20 real points.
Wiggins lights it up.
This is, it's going to be damn close. Wiggins averages 33 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. Booker averages 31. It's a real toss-up, but I'll go with Wiggins as well. All right, we got Paul George taking on Carmelo Anthony. What's the number in this one?
Yeah, this one's a straight-up pick'em, Gabe. This one's going to be tough. Carmelo, you know what? This guy loves to chuck the ball. George has been consistent. The Pacers, Morenci, they're one of your picks. I love these guys as pooches. He's been solid, 22-8, 21-8. He's very, very solid. But the one thing that Carmelo has tonight, even when he misses shots, he has the Nuggets. Hey, former Nugget, it's a revenge game. New York, the crazy things aren't happening, and the Nuggets give up so many points, and you know Mark Carmelo's going to chuck. I like Paul George as a complete reality player in this matchup, but in fantasy terms, I got to go with Carmelo because I think they're going to kill Denver and put up a lot of points.
Well, this is another one in which I think it's going to be really close as far as the head-to-head matchup at camp. The Pacers and the Wizards game, there's going to be points put up. The total's 214 in that basketball game, as you mentioned, Cam. Last four games, he put up 46, 41, 33, and 52 fantasy points, Paul George. He's scoring like 26 points a game on the court. There's not a lot of players that are as hot as Paul George is right now, but despite how dysfunctional the Knicks are, Carmelo Anthony is actually putting up solid fantasy numbers. Mm-hmm. And as Cam alluded to, they're taking on the Denver Nuggets tonight. So, you know, one of the highest totals of the season, not just on the board tonight. The total's 229 points. All right? This game's going to be a freaking track meet. And they played in December, and they put up 241 combined points. It was 127-114. Carmelo Anthony in that game against the Nuggets this year, 29 points, 4 rebounds, and 3 assists. I think Melo goes off tonight, actually.
Yeah, we can get there.
I think it's sort of a screw you to Dolan and support for Oakley. It's going to be a crazy atmosphere at the Garden tonight. I like Carmelo Anthony in this matchup. All right, we've got Klay Thompson going head-to-head with D'Angelo Russell. What's the number in this one?
Klay Thompson, small favorite in this matchup, Morenci. And I got to tell you something. Thompson's been unbelievable. At least 9 field goals in 5 straight, 21 points in 4 of his last 5 games. This guy's shooting the lights out. As for Russell, slow down a little bit, too. You know, he had a couple games, 2 and 4 points, but you know what they were talking about? He hit a wall. A young player playing a lot of minutes and now putting the brakes on. So I think actually this is one of my favorite matchups of the night. I would take Klay Thompson even if he was a 4-point favorite. I think he gets it done and murders him.
Wow.
one of my favorite matchups, buddy.
I'm going. Take a look at Russell. Like he's
I'm going with Russell. Will, okay. you give me 4 points instead of high roster?
Yeah, sure, buddy. Yeah.
Sell me on Russell.
Well, I'll tell you why I like Russell here. Due to the opponent, mm-hmm. and as you mentioned, Cam, Clay Thompson, you know, he was nagged by an ankle injury. He came back. He lit it up the other night. 6 and 9 from behind the arc. Yep. 28 points, 6 boards, 3 assists. He scored 21 or more points and had 5 or more rebounds in 5 mm-hmm. straight games.
I know. He's getting rebound numbers up.
Yeah, so his numbers are up right then and there. But who are they playing?
They got a tough matchup.
That scrappy Memphis Grizzlies team.
The Grizzlies.
Who, if you remember, beat the Warriors.
Yes.
And really, you know, you're dealing with all these guys. You're dealing with D-League players and Tony Allen, the Godfather and stuff. It's a scrappy time. Golden State never have a fun time playing against Memphis.
Nobody does.
And nobody does. I like the fact that Milwaukee play an up-tempo basketball game. The total's 219 points. Yeah, Clay Thompson's obviously a better player than D'Angelo Russell is, but in this head-to-head matchup, I lean with D'Angelo Russell.
And you're getting points.
All right. Speaking of the Memphis Grizzlies, we've got Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Over under 29.5 fantasy points. This isn't head-to-head against anybody. This is just hot rosters are real cool.
Yeah.
Real cool format. So
points.
Is he going to score? I'll tell you. Hell yeah, he is. You know, Memphis are a scrappy team to play against, but Golden State do give up points. The tempo will be a brisk one. And the fact of the matter is, 29.5, Cam, he's only scored less than 29.5 fantasy points twice in his last 10 games.
Renzi, beautiful stuff to reinvigorate your numbers. 4 of the last 7, 20-plus points. This guy put down 38 points on the Phoenix Suns. And the great news is, you know, beyond the stats, 23 assists in his last 3 games, too. So in hot roster format, man, trust me, if he gets 20 points with the way he's got the assists, we can get over that number. Keep climbing. Over.
Love it. Love it. All right. And finally, in closing, Derrick Rose, over under 26.5. I think this number is too low.
I do, too.
We're talking about the Denver Nuggets that don't defend.
Yep.
We're talking about a total of 229 points. Derrick Rose can still ball, all right? Yeah, he didn't show up one night. All right. You know, stuff happens. They played the Clippers already. The other night against the Clippers, 20 points, 7 boards, 8 assists,
exactly.
41 fantasy points. And that was with the circus with Oakley getting kicked out and all that. If D. Rose is healthy, he's a different type of guy to deal with for the coaching staff and stuff. But from a fantasy perspective, when he's healthy and he's on the floor, he puts numbers up, Cam.
Yeah, we can get over 26, Morenci. 69 minutes played in the last games, too. You talked about it. Solid work against the clip joint. Sure, everybody puts up an egg now and then. I'm telling you, all the Knicks guys, you're going to take over tonight because it's going to be a scoring fest at MSG when the Nuggets come to town.
Knicks are going to beat them.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Knicks are going to beat them. No one's going to want to touch the Knicks. It opened up. Knicks were -2. And I was like, why are the Knicks favored? Knicks can't be favored against anybody. Then I saw it move to 1. Then I remembered, oh, yeah, this is a big trap for all you suckers. Oh, the Knicks are a mess. They're going to show up tonight and get it done. We got 2 NHL games on the board tonight, Cam. We got Tampa Bay at Minnesota, laying 65 cents. I like the Wild.
Can I give you a horse pick first, Morenci, at Gulfstream? I like Starship Explorer and number 14 in race 11. But let's get to hockey. Horses have been hot. I like the over in both hockey games tonight. Tampa Bay, Minnesota, over the number. Winnipeg, Chicago, over the number. And I know my boy Morenci, he's going wild with Minnesota tonight. I'm going to lay off the sides and just play the totals. But I do like the Winnipeg Jets, who somehow own Chicago, Gabe. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm still put off by the horse.
Yeah. Anyway, the horses have been good to me, so I had to give you a pick. Gulfstream's hot.
What was the pick?
Starship Explorer, race 14, jockey Paco Lopez, 6-1 morning line. Book it. Watch out for this guy. He'll win or come second.
Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We welcome Cody Saftick from the Fantasy Sports Network and the Fight Network to talk UFC 208. Cody, always a pleasure. How you doing?
Yes, very good, thank you. Heading to Brooklyn, New York. So, a fight town, certainly. So, let's get it on.
Yeah, you know what? And as I stated off the top of the program, the darkest arena in sports.
Really?
Yeah, the darkest arena in sports. I'm telling you, there's going to be, like, hospitals are going to be full after UFC 208 in Brooklyn of people, like, broken ankles and stuff. Have too many drinks.
Just tumble
down steps and stuff like that. Yeah. All right. So let's blast through this. We're going to take a look at a card from a betting perspective, and then Cody will give you his DraftKings lineup for UFC 208. And then when we come back with my plays of the day, I'll share my DraftKings lineup with you. All right. So let's start off with the main event, the first ever women's featherweight championship fight. We got Randami taking on Holly Holm. And it's amazing to me the lack of respect that the public and the odds makers are showing Holly Holm.
Yep.
You know, a longtime former boxing champ, a 17-time champion or whatever it was, defended the belt, her belt 17 times. Of course, KO'd Ronda Rousey. She was dominating against Miesha Tate and got choked out.
She was up going into the fifth, absolutely.
Yeah. And then Shevchenko. You know, Shevchenko was the better fighter than she was, but Shevchenko is probably a better fighter than pretty much anyone in the world right now, besides maybe Amanda Nunes, and we'll find out that in the future. Randami, yeah, she's a kickboxing Muay Thai champion and stuff. You know, I guess she won a record 37 fights in a row. That was in 2005 to 2008.
Long time ago, yes.
You know, it's not like she's the top kickboxer in the world now. You know what I mean? Very inexperienced in mixed martial arts, 6-3. I watched her fight in Strikeforce. She's okay.
Just okay.
She's okay. I think if Holly Holm is smart, she uses some grappling, mixes in a couple of takedowns here, and can win this fight.
Well, when you look at where Jermaine de Randamie is the worst, it was probably going to be on the ground. Likewise, when you look at Holly Holm, where she's the worst, maybe it's on the ground. But when you're Holly Holm, Gabe, your last couple of fights now, Ronda's not going to stand with you. She's going to try to take you down. Miesha Tate's not going to stand with you. She's going to try to take you down. Even that fight with Valentina Shevchenko, who is a striker, second-degree black belt in judo, or black belt in judo, good ground game, as
we just saw her submit Pena. She's well-rounded, that girl.
Absolutely. So when Holm goes into fights, it's like, oh my God, they're going to try to take me down. And that's something she's got to think about. Coming into this fight with Jermaine de Randamie, that's not something you've got to think about. Now you look at the quality of opposition. Holm's fighting the best girls in the world, current world champions, current girls that are ranked in the top five. When you look at Jermaine de Randamie, she's fighting Larissa Pacheco, who's now cut.
Julia Budd.
Yeah, Julia Budd, who she lost to, by the way, in Strikeforce. Anna Elmos, who's 5'3" and retired shortly thereafter. So the opposition is not the same, but I really think it's that Ronda Rousey effect. People look at Ronda Rousey as being the greatest. So when Holm beat her, Holm then became the greatest. Now that people are kind of crapping on Ronda, now that people are like, well, Ronda wasn't as good as we thought she was.
Her win doesn't mean as much to them
anymore. To the public, it's like, well, she's lost her last two fights, and who's the last girl she beat? Ronda Rousey. Well, Ronda's not what I thought she was, so maybe Holm's not that good. I'm looking at this girl who's a kickboxer, a pure kickboxer. I've seen what Holm did last time out against a pure kickboxer, and well, she lost, but I think this is a completely different style altogether. Jermaine de Randamie is kind of flat-footed in the sense that, as you talked about, she has that Muay Thai style, and it's a traditional Dutch Muay Thai style. That she wants to throw those leg kicks, she'll plant on her feet. If she wants to throw her hands, Gabe, she plants all the way on her feet, anchors herself, and throws those punches. Holm is very mobile. She likes to dart.
Yeah, you see them coming.
Pocket.
She's very telegraphic. She's so long, too. It takes a while to get there for.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be the most entertaining fight. Because I think Holly Holm, Randami fights with her distance. She understands. She uses her reach to her advantage. She likes to keep a distance. Holly Holm's a pretty conservative fighter. Greg Jackson trained.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's not going to want to take any crazy chances either. I think the fight goes on. I think it goes the distance. I like the over 4.5, but I like Holly Holm at plus 100.
Yeah, no, plus 100. If you're going to get remotely dog money or even a pick'em, I like Holly Holm. When you factor in, does this fight go five? If it's a striking battle for five rounds, good possibility it goes five. But, as you mentioned, if Holm decides to use that grappling and completes a single takedown, she took down Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Clearly, she's got a good takedown game. If she just gets that one takedown, then that's the big question mark and the big unknown for Jermaine de Randamie. So I'd love to play those odds. $8,000 on DK. She's going to have five rounds to play with. Sign me up for the Preacher's Daughter, Gabe.
All right, so this next one is also a similar situation in which will Derek Brunson fight a smart fight? If Derek Brunson stands in the middle of the octagon and starts swinging and stuff, Anderson Silva could kick him in the head.
Could be.
Anderson Silva could spin around and catch him with an elbow or something like that. If Derek Brunson keeps his distance, frustrates Anderson Silva a little bit and just does the Cormier, take him down and keep him down, he can win this fight. Anderson Silva, man, I took you like every freaking fight ever, all right? Like, until the second loss against Weidman, then I'm like, I'm done with you.
Right.
The I'm
times,
out.
Times change.
Yeah, I'm out after that. Actually, I think I did take him against Diaz, too. But but nevertheless, he's 41 years old right now.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to expect. Brunson could choke and could get stupid and want to think, oh, I want to show that I can knock Anderson Silva out. But if he fights smart, Brunson wins this fight. I'm taking Brunson minus 140. And I do like the over 1.5 in this fight as well. Who do you like?
This is a tough one because if you're Derek Brunson, your last five fights have ended inside of the first round. You're 4-1 over your last five. And he's got that proven record of go in there, bum rush them, hit them as many times before they can even figure out what has actually happened. And they generally go
hopefully
down.
Getting KO'd by Robert Whittaker taught him a lesson.
And then that last time against Whittaker, he's hitting Whittaker. He's hurting Whittaker. But Whittaker's a young guy with a good chin who can resolve the situation and ends up taking those shots, comes back and knocks him out. So if he comes out to this fight now and he's thinking, you know what, I don't want to rush in anymore, I want to use the takedowns, that's the key to victory. I agree. Yeah. But I think there's going to be a part of him that thinks to himself, you know what, Anderson Silva might be a little chinny. Now we've seen that he's been knocked out, but we've seen that he's been dropped against Michael Bisping. We've seen that he's been hurt in different fights.
Yeah, but he also hurt Michael Bisping too.
He can hurt Michael Bisping, and that's the exact it. That's a 5-round fight. The later that fight goes, the more that Anderson Silva can pick spots. If he picks a spot in Derek Brunson, he can knock him out. The issue here though is if you like Anderson Silva, and I wouldn't fault you for liking Anderson Silva. Plus 130 dog money is not enough. No. I would need more on Anderson Silva. Brunson's 33 years old. He's considered one of the top contenders in the division. And he's got 3 takedowns over Yoel Romero when he fought, 2 of which were clean. And he was up 2 rounds to none prior to getting finished in the 3rd round. This guy's as good as they get. Maybe he doesn't fight the smartest, as you're talking about, Gabe. But he's a very, very adequate fighter. He matches up pretty decent against Anderson Silva. And the one thing is, don't make that one lapse, which is easier said than done when you're taking on a guy known as the Spider Silva. So it's going to be a tough fight for him, but because the odds are there, I like it. And once again, taking it back to DK, $8,300 for a guy that's finished 4 of his last 5 fights inside the very first round. I have to take that play.
All right, we've only got 4 minutes, and we want to get to Cody's DraftKings lineup, so we'll blast through the remaining fights. We got Jacare's a minus 500 favorite, Souza against Tim Boach. I like to take an underdog when I think he has a shot of winning. I don't think he has any hope in hell of winning this fight. Unless he hits that home run, which is always possible, and he did it against Hector Lombard years ago, but that was years ago. I just don't see it happening. I think Jacare is going to murder him and probably do it pretty fast. We got Teixeira and Cannon Year here. Teixeira, I thought the number was a little low at minus 165 earlier in the week, and now I'm seeing 200s
pop up. Of course, because everyone else is saying the same thing. Why is a guy who's a former world title challenger, a guy who is perennially one of the best guys in the division,
against a dude from Alaska.
Yeah, who's unheralded, by the way, and just signed a new 6-fight deal. He's taking this fight on short notice, and he just wants
gorilla
to get his... He's got a great name, don't get me wrong, but Glover Teixeira is actually better than this guy all around. He's got better wrestling, he's got better submissions, he's got... I'm going to say he's got a better jaw despite him just getting knocked out by Anthony Johnson, people. Better striking, better all around. When you look at the price, not that bad. And once again, on DK, $8,700, he's the cheaper option than other guys on the card, like a Wilson Hayes, for example, like a Dustin Poirier, for example. So if you don't mind Glover Teixeira, $8,700, affordable.
It's another level of skill that Cannon Year hasn't seen yet before.
That's
just, you know what I mean? You fought Sean Jordan. Okay, you beat Cyril Asker, you beat Cutabella. This is a different animal than Teixeira. He's bigger in real life than you realize. He's faster. He's got power. He's great on the ground. He's one of these guys. He's just right there, not quite a champion, right?
Absolutely. You know? And when you look at Cannon Year 2, that last fight against Cutabella, not pretty by no stretch of the imagination. He gets hurt in the first round. He's able to use that gas tank to win 2 and 3. Using your gas tank to beat Glover Teixeira doesn't seem like an option. And
Teixeira is hittable. That's the one thing. Teixeira he's willing to eat one, you know, to get in there, but...
When you look at the guys that he's gone the distance with, even I know John Jones not regarded as a power puncher, but being able to take all that damage for the course of 5 rounds, he's been knocked out twice in his entire career. Once in his pro debut, 2002, and once in his last fight against Anthony Johnson. So if you're betting against the chin, I don't quite see it. My last point on that is, when you look at Glover, smart guy, high ring IQ. When he took on OSP, everyone was saying, oh, he's a better striker. He didn't even care to strike with him. Yeah. Why? I know this guy has no ground game. I'm a better wrestler. I have a BJJ black belt. Take him down, tire him down, choke him out. That's the name of the game for one Glover Teixeira.
All right, let's get to your DraftKings lineup.
Okay, well, we're going to start off with the aforementioned Wilson Hayes, $9,600. The thing with Hayes here, Yes, he's a flyweight. He's a flyweight submission machine. BJJ black belt. He goes in very aggressive. Small for the weight class, absolutely, but very stocky, very powerful. He's a guy that's fought as high as 140 pounds. Good finishing ability for 125. I like him. Glover Teixeira, as we talked about, $8,700. Look at this guy's track record. His entire career, a finisher, well priced. I like Glover Teixeira. Derek Brunson, $8,300. As I was telling Gabe, you want a guy that's going to go out there on a GPP, go out there, try to finish as fast as possible. He does that. He has a proven track record. 4-1 over his last five. Sign me up for D. Brunson. Holly Holm, two things going for her. One, five rounds to deal with. If she doesn't get the finish, she can just dance around, pick away, get the five rounds worth of significant strikes. That will add up, people. Flip side to that, she gets a takedown. Maybe she gets a finish. Maybe she's that ground and pound. Maybe a choke. Who knows? We have not seen the best of Holly Holm's ground game. Maybe Saturday night will be the time to showcase that. We'll take Holly Holm for $8,000. Bilal Muhammad, $7,800. Yes, this man was KO'd stiff 2 months ago. However, I do like him in this spot. He's very aggressive. He marches forward. He does have a good chin despite that KO loss, and he's very aggressive. I think he goes out there against the local guy, Randy Brown, makes him think, takes away that space that Randy Brown plays so well with, takes Randy Brown out, or beats him up over the course of three. $7,800. I do like Bilal Muhammad. And finishing it off, not the sexiest pick in the world, people, Nick Lentz, $7,400. I actually do like this pick. The one thing bear keeping in mind is Nick Wentz weighed in earlier today, had to take the towel, looked awful. And this is him moving up to 155 from 145, still having trouble with that weight cut. That does bar some monitoring, but for $7,400, I'm taking that play.
Cody Saftick, check him out. Bookie Beatdown will come back with our DK UFC 208 lineup and our plays of the day next. All right, we'll be giving you a daily NBA DraftKings lineup. We're going to shake things up a little bit. It's UFC 208 pay-per-view Saturday night from Brooklyn, New York. Let's get down to business. We put together a lineup for you. Let's start off with Jacare Souza. All right, yeah, he's expensive, but check it out, man. 91 fantasy points per fight. He's going to be able to do what he wants against Tim Boach, and I imagine he's going to probably finish him pretty quickly. It wouldn't surprise me if this fight didn't get out of the first round. I think that he's gonna beat on him a bit. He might take him down. He'll beat on him a bit. Either way, Tim Boach is gonna end up in a really bad spot, and he's gonna have to end up tapping out. All right, so I'm gonna take Jacare in this spot. Rick Glenn. Not a lot of people know about Rick Glenn, former World Series of Fighting champion. He took on Evan Dunham, man. He took a beating, but he also got a couple of shots in as well. Everybody always has that little UFC debut nerves and jitters and stuff. Yeah, Eddie Alvarez lost his first fight. We saw he went on a tear after that. I expect Rick Glenn to bounce back, especially considering the fight that he's fighting Philippe Nover, right? I like Glenn in this spot here. Glover Teixeira. Teixeira's the man, all right? The guy's a badass. He can beat anybody except John Jones, essentially, and maybe Rumble Johnson just knocked him out, but I like Teixeira. Holly Holm. Holly Holm doesn't have a ton of power, but she could mix in some takedowns. This fight's probably going to go the distance, a full five rounds. She's going to be able to rack up a lot of significant strikes. You're going to be able to get points. Bilal Muhammad, he could win this fight against Randy Brown. All right, Randy Brown's a little bit overrated, in my opinion. And we wrap it up with Jim Miller. Would I bet on Jim Miller? No, but the dude has won three fights in a row, and you got to take a long shot somewhere along the line. All right, let's get to our plays of the day. We're going to start off. The Wizards are hot, but you know what? I don't want to lay 6 points. Give me the Pacers. Let's go over 214 with the Pacers and the Wizards. Nuggets and Knicks. Are you crazy, Morenci? Are you taking the Knicks? Yes! I am crazy, and yes, I am taking the Knicks. Pelicans, T-Wolves, over 212. Dayton and Rhode Island, give me the Flyers, baby, plus four. Dayton and Rhode Island, over 140. Go Big Red. Give me the 15.5, a little Ivy League action against Princeton. We wrap it up with a Minnesota Wild, minus 165. Other night, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.